This program deals with themes of an adult nature and is intended for a mature audience.
Is this on?
Oh, it's on, all right. You're making sure you're... It didn't think that we were just done recording podcasts last week because we didn't have one. And
I think so. I even took the condom off my mic so I could do that.
Oh, wow. Thank God.
See?
It's good that you have a pop filter and that.
Just, I know, because I got a lot of pops in my peas. That's why.
In case there's you're supposed to hear something.
In case there's any pwind.
If it gets very pwindy while we're recording our podcast.
Welcome to the Two Bobs Podcast. Two everyday guys talking about everyday stuff, like their latest tech obsessions, sports, current events, and more. And now, the two people who are recipients of the most eye rolls in history. Please welcome the Two Bobs.
Hey, welcome to the Two Bobs. I'm Rob.
And I'm Robert. You're listening to episode 64 for Monday, May 21st, 2018.
This week on the Two Bobs, we have an awesome episode for you. After a week off, we're going to talk about the beer we're drinking. We're going to talk about cutting the cord. Fuck cable.
We'll talk about what everybody is talking about as well, and that's Yanny versus Laurel. And this week, we've got a shit ton of crazy news stories, including some that were listener submitted.
So we had a week off last week.
We did.
Because you were visiting the Big Apple. I ate an apple with some peanut butter on it.
Crunchy or soft? Or I guess creamy, I guess what? The other.
Creamy apples? Oh, wait. It's been
2 weeks.
I'm rusty. Yeah, no, I really don't have an excuse for that. Clearly, you were talking about the peanut butter. It's...
If the apples are crushy or whatever I said, then they're bad.
I'm like, if you have soft apples, do you eat those?
You know how to check an apple, don't you? How to check if it's good? Besides biting into it?
Yeah, cut it into it and see if it's brown.
No, well, that'll work too. But if you're at the store, you got to turn them around or turn them on the upside down and look at the bottom. Look at the anus where it's all, you want it nice and tight. You don't.
Well, who doesn't like a tight anus?
Right. You got to check the anus of the apple. And if it's tight there, that means it's good. But as the apple, especially like the Red Delicious, those, if you look and see the ones that are bad, it'll actually start to open up.
That's what happens over time.
Right. So that's how you check it. You flip it over. You look to make sure it's good and tight. Then you know it's a good apple. Wow. And then you bite it and it's fine.
You should make a YouTube video.
You definitely don't want to eat the apple if that anus is loose. I tell you that much.
No loose anus apples.
I think the show title's done.
Man, like first 2 minutes of the episode, we got the show title. Well, it's been a great episode. You can find us at thetwobobs.com. Oh, man. What were we even talking about? Oh, peanut butter.
Yeah, peanut butter. Crunchy, right?
No, creamy.
Ah, damn it. Oh, well. The show can still go on.
I don't know if it's an apple. I feel like it should be creamy peanut butter. Because what I do is I microwave it for like 20 seconds.
The apple?
peanut butter.
Okay.
Just to make it nice and creamy and creamier, I guess.
Much more creamier.
Yeah, it needs to be the creamiest peanut butter I've ever had.
Well, I'm ready to get creamy. I say we dive on into the beer because we obviously haven't had anything to drink just yet. Well, you did. I'm ready for mine. I tasted a little bit of it and I'm ready to dive in, and we've got a shit ton of stuff to talk about. So what do you say we start on our beer?
Let's do it.
Hey, bartender, another beer!
I got another 4-pack of KBS. I feel like I can be a little bit more liberal with my consumption now.
Four? You'll go through that in a sitting. Although it's heavy, so maybe.
No, it's, you can't, that's not a beer you can drink much of. I mean, it's what, 12.8%. It's that'd be rough. It's one of those two, it's like a beer, you kind of have to savor it. You don't want to just down it, you know. You don't, it's a very special beer to me now. But anyway, this week, as you know,
yep,
or you may know, if you don't know, you're about to know. But one of my favorite beers is the Vanilla Java Porter from Atwater.
Yep.
And I've had it on the show here. And let me see. Let's see. When did I have it?
At the very beginning.
I think, yeah, it was early on because, again, it's just one of those go-tos. So it didn't take a whole. Yeah. Episode 4, Inconvenient Pooping.
The first beer episode.
I had a, had a Vanilla Java Porter. Episode 11, Stupid Eli Face. I had a Lip Lock Cherry Stout from Atwater. Episode 24, Rob Likes Sausage. I had a, let's see here, two decadent chocolate ales from, of course, Atwater. So I've had a couple of their beers on the show. They make really good, flavorful beer. And this is no exception to that. It reminds me when I first opened the bottle, I felt like I was sniffing a like a cream soda. It had that, I don't know if it's artificial flavor or what. And to me, it tastes I definitely taste the vanilla, like a creamy vanilla. So it reminds me of a vanilla chocolate porter with kind of cream soda added to it. It's a really good flavor. You definitely taste the cream and the vanilla, but the one thing that I think that sets it behind the Vanilla Java Porter, the original Vanilla Java Porter, is I don't taste a whole lot of the coffee. I think that the Bavarian cream kind of takes away from that flavor, or maybe they took that, like they scaled back on the original flavors of the original Vanilla Java Porter so it wasn't too much flavor. But in doing that, I think they took some of the best elements away from the original version of this. But nonetheless, it's a good beer. I rated it 4.25 on Untappd, and it's a nice solid pour. And I'm going to read the bottle here because the website is pretty much like, hey, yeah, we have this beer. Go fuck off. No. It says it's an English style porter brewed with vanilla and Bavarian cream coffee beans. Again, I'm not tasting a ton of the coffee, maybe just a little bit, which is funny because it's called a Java porter. But this I bought in a 12-ounce bottle. I don't know if it's available on anything else because the fucking website doesn't tell me. It's 5% alcohol by volume. It's 13 IBUs. Again, you just get that really, you get that kind of cream soda scent to it when you first open the bottle. You definitely smell it. But it pours really, really dark, kind of like the original Vanilla Java Porter. But overall, a good beer. I like the original Vanilla Java Porter better, though.
Just sip it though. Goes good down though. Yeah. And I've had some of the Vanilla Java Porter because after you had it on here and I learned how much you liked it, I was able to find some at the local place. So we've had it a few times. Probably need to add some more. I think I'll have a lot of the ales and things out in the garage that Melissa doesn't tend to like as much as the porters or the darker beers. And she really liked that one too. So I'll have to go and see if I can find any of that because it sounds like it's at least worth a try. I don't know whether it's, at least for us, whether it would be up there with the Vanilla Java Porter, but I think anything with vanilla in it and Bavarian cream, and I like cream soda, so I guess it's probably not that bad, but I don't know. You're not giving it that glowing a recommendation.
Yeah, I mean, again, if you see it, pick it up. Yeah. Especially if you can get it in like kind of a, like a build your own six pack or as a single serve bottle. Definitely doesn't hurt to try it. It's, again, it's a good pour. I do like the flavors. I'm just such a fan of the original Vanilla Java Porter that I find it doesn't quite match up to that. But I mean, you look at Untappd rates at a 3.91 with about 1300 ratings. The Vanilla Java Porter is only rated a 3.83 with about 84,000 ratings on Untappd. So actually it's rated on Untappd a little bit higher than the Vanilla Java Porter, but I think I saw in Beer Advocate it wasn't quite as high. Again, try it out. It's a good beer, just not as good to me as the original Vanilla Java Porter. What do you got going on?
Well, I've got something that I'm excited about, and I tried to find a bit of information about it because I'd never really heard of this brewery, but it turns out that they're not too far from me. They're in the capital city of Virginia in the Richmond area. And it is a Steam Bell Beer Works Tiramisu Stout. And a lot like the Victory at Sea by Ballast Point that we've had on the show, this one actually has a couple varieties. So I actually didn't know as I was doing research for the show, I didn't actually know which one that I had. And it turns out I've got the original, which I'm kind of glad about, but they've got a bourbon barrel one, and they've got like a thin mint type flavor to it. Evidently they do these like variety ones, kind of using the, I think Founders Porter a couple weeks ago, they had different ones. So, I actually have already taken a little bit of it, and I'll tell you about it in a second, but really the only information that I've been able to find is that it's a milk stout brewed with whole vanilla beans, rum soaked oak chips, and Ironclad Coffee Company Brazilian coffee. I don't know. I thought that there was one that was more of a rum flavor to it. So I don't know, but that's exactly what it kind of came up on a tap. So I'm going to give it a shot and I'll let you know what I think.
Looks good.
Yeah, it is good. It's got like a creamy taste to it, which you would expect, almost like a tiramisu. It's kind of got that cream. It's very smooth, but it does have a little bit of a bite since it's an imperial milk stout. It's got kind of that little bit of bitterness to it. It's only 38 IBUs, so it doesn't have a real punch to it like some of the other stouts or porters, a really strong one. It's got 9% alcohol by volume, so it does have enough of a buzz to warm you up a little bit. On Untappd, it's rated at 3.96. I really like it. I put it up there kind of high at a 4.5, I think, because it's, I guess, unique enough that I really like the taste. And actually, I'm seeing here the other varieties. There's a double chocolate one as well. One that's got, let's see, toasted coconut and Mexican chocolate as a variety as well. So they've got a bunch of different ones. Ooh. I'm going to see if I can find any more of it. I do like it, and I think Melissa would like it as well. It's got a bit of a sweetness to it. The vanilla is definitely there. There is the coffee that's in there as well. And they all play along very nicely. So I'm not disappointed that I can't taste some of it and more of the others. Everything really goes together well. So if you can find it, I'd recommend it. Again, I think I said before we started here that I don't know that it's going to be distributed up your way, but it looks like it's a small brewery based on the website. But I like it. I'm going to try to see if I can get down there and visit them at some point too.
It looks good. There's a tiramisu coffee style from Ellison that I've had a couple of times. In fact, I just had it. I was at a beer tasting. Oh, was it last week, I think, with Elderly Listener? Yeah, it was last week. I was at a kind of a charitable event, I guess, a beer tasting, and they had a bunch of beers, and the tiramisu coffee style from Ellison was one of them. And I tasted that, and I loved it. Again, good balance of flavors. It's not the one I had isn't an imperial, though. I think it was only 7% alcohol by volume. But again, really good balance of flavors. I'd love to try this one though. It looks good. But like you said, I don't think it doesn't seem like they don't really even show on their website really. I mean, unless I could dig in a little bit further and maybe see it, but it doesn't say much about where they distribute. So I think like you said, it's probably more of a small, like a micro brewery, with a little bit of a distribution chain, or channel. That probably doesn't make its way all the way up to Michigan, but yeah.
Oh well. I'm drinking a little bit more of it, and I'm not really taken aback, but I'm just really surprised at how smooth and the creaminess of it. And I guess that's the milk portion of it too, which I don't think. And I brought the Bittersweet Nitro Stout down for after this, and those are the Left Hand also has the milk stout, and even that didn't seem as creamy as this. So it's pretty wild. I like it.
They actually add milk to it. It's goat's milk though. Hopefully you're okay with that. Oh boy.
What else has been going on?
Oh, nothing. Just Tigers aren't as doing as terrible as I thought they were going to.
Yeah, we talked about that earlier this week. The Nats seem to be hot, although we've been raining for about a week, so they've haven't been playing much baseball, but I've been watching the standings. It looked like the Tigers, as I see them on Quick Pitch, not just like you said, not doing as bad as we thought they might.
No, they may actually have a chance at making the playoffs, and I'm not saying that like they're a phenomenal team. We just happen to be in a terrible division, and that seems to be boding well for us. We're 1.5 games behind the Indians right now. The Indians are literally, they're at the top of our division, and they are at 500. We're at 0.465. So it's not a terrible, it's not like we're in the, you know, National League East where, you know, let's see, 4 of the 5 teams are above 500, including, you know, of course, the Nats, the Mets,
Phillies, Braves.
The Braves. Who would have thought the Braves, they're like the team, they're like the Lions of baseball.
Yeah.
Like, they're not supposed to be good.
Yeah. Well, I mean, a lot of the people, if you watch them on TV, a lot of people are expecting that the Nats are going to surge and everybody else is going to kind of fall back. Like the Nats are like pacing themselves for a long distance run where everybody else is kind of in that sprint and you're just waiting for them to tire out before you pull ahead. And I'm hoping that happens.
I am too. I hope that, you know, I think they're a good enough team. They have enough talent. I mean, Max Scherzer has just been,
it's just dominating
on fire. I mean, you know, like, is once he, I'm, you know, and I know they're saying who's going to be the first to 21 strikeouts in a game. I'm like, who's going to be the first to 50 strikeouts in a game? Like,
yeah, well, he hit 20 last year and I was waiting for him to get to 21 and beyond, but didn't quite happen. That's all right.
By the way, I know that it's very unlikely to ever have 50 strikeouts in a game, just in case anybody's wondering.
Extra innings.
But I'm like, actually, you know, I'm happy because, and I'm fortunate because, you know, with cutting the cord and with going to DirecTV Now, it's been, God, at this point, it's been about a year and a half since I made that. And one of the kind of my saving graces has been that, well, they've added local content, but, you know, our local games are streamed through Fox Sports Detroit, which, unless it's a nationally televised game, once that just goes through ESPN or whatever. But I'm lucky enough here in Detroit to have that. You know, I know you've cut the cord.
We did.
Recently.
We decided, I think, just try to cut back on some expenses. And I think DirecTV Now had been one of the holdout things that we were having a hard time. Well, I was having a hard time with is kind of the tech guy around here and finding out how everything was going to work. But we didn't have all the locals. And I think what pushed me over is that I think it was CBS was the lone holdout. And I couldn't even tell you if we watch a show on CBS, but just knowing that sometimes there's stuff on there and you want to watch it. I'm sure if I look through what we do watch, I might find one. But these days with everything being either on demand or DVR, you don't know what time shows are on. You don't know what day they come on. You don't know what network they're on for the most part. But yeah, just having all the networks finally show up and realize that I'd save probably $100 a month. I think my last DirecTV bill was $168, and now I'm down to $55, and that includes the HBO, although I know you're locked into one of the earlier promos that they have. So $55, I'll take it, and being able to switch around if I need to, if something's not right, there's no equipment, and I'm liking it. It's a little bit of a learning curve to how everything works, and there's a couple things that it doesn't do that the other one did, but saving over $100 a month, I'll take it.
Well, so you're gonna have and I noticed it too, and I'll say this, I mean, the year and a half I was an early adopter with DirecTV Now, because of that I've been rewarded at least until DirecTV finds a loophole and is able to get me out of my package or force me out of it. But for the time being, I'm locked into one of the, you know, basically their like highest level package with HBO and Showtime. I'm paying $40 a month for it. And, but from when they first launched the service until today, I've seen them really expand that service out, not just in the channel offerings, but, and just the features and this reliability, just the interface itself. Adding DVR and it's still, you know, the DVR still needs some work. It's still like in an early stage,
right.
But they have it now which is a cool thing. So yeah, it's still lacking. Like I had Xfinity before and I've had DirecTV in the past. I've had Dish Network in the past. and yeah, it's not quite to that level, but I wouldn't expect it to be. I would expect it to be a slimmed down service at least for now. But I really, really believe that as we continue to move forward into the future, like all the like the way we watch TV, eventually it's all going to be streaming at some point. And I would think probably sooner than later that's going to happen. I mean, we have already started to see a shift. More and more people are using the streaming services now, so it's only a matter of time till the providers, it's just not worth it for them to have the standard service and have to deal with all the equipment and have to deal with all that. Eventually, I think everybody's just going to have apps and everybody's going to stream using whatever service they want to use. And so, you know, I'm just patient, you know, patiently waiting for more features to be added in and for the service to be more intuitive and to add more content, especially on demand and stuff like that. And I think it's just a matter of time till, you know, that I think catches up to what you get through just your regular services.
I think time will tell, like you said, as things start to convert and change and as technology does. I mean, going from records to cassette or records and 8-tracks to cassettes to CDs and mini disc, and now you don't really have any of that. So TV is kind of one of those things that's really since the early on, you know, the onset of cable, and that really hasn't changed a whole lot. The streaming has kind of come in, but now as the internet is really blown up, I mean, it's been very important to us for a long time now, but it's really changed that. And the TV is, you know, we've had satellite radio and all kind of stuff has been out there. So now we're seeing that shift as people are just wondering why they're spending between $100 and $200 a month for TV when they can get it quite a bit less. And yeah, I'll give up a feature. I mean, the one thing that I'm struggling with right now is the instant replay and the rewind 30 seconds, or if I see something really cool and stopping it and rewatching it. But then I think, okay, well, I'm spending $55 and no taxes or any of that other crap. That $168 had fees and rental fees and all kind of other shit on there that just jacked the price up. So I look and say, well, is it really worth it more than $100 for me to be able to kind of rewatch something that's happened? And I don't really think it is. I think there's going to be a couple times where it bites me, but I think at the end of the day, it's not that big of a deal. There's a lot bigger things to worry about and to get upset about than that.
No, what I find, and I think probably where that would normally come into play the most would be sports. You know, it's you know, what did you miss? You got up to, you know, take a piss, and then you come back, and you know, there was a home run that you missed or something like that. So being able to kind of, you know, but again, I think that there's already certain stations with DirecTV now that, or certain shows, I should say, when you go in there, it'll let you start the show from the beginning. It's, you know, so that functionality is already kind of in there, and I think it's probably only a matter of time till they just build that kind of review or rewind feature into it. I think it's just going to take time to get there. And like you said, at the end of the day, is it worth $100 for that shit? No. If I really want to, you know, see that play, I wait 5 minutes, pull up at bat, and there it is. Like,
or YouTube or any, it'll be somewhere.
Yeah, it'll be somewhere. You know, so I'm not too terribly worried about it. But what I found, though, is I use the DirecTV service, but our DirecTV Now app, and I watch TV, but outside of the Tigers, there's not a whole lot that I watch through it. I tend to use the apps for the individual networks,
sure,
whether it be ABC, NBC, AMC, all those things. I tend to use that, and I use the DirecTV Now login, of course, to have access to the content, but I tend to use those way more than anything else. I mean, honestly, I use probably Netflix more than anything.
We'll see. I think you told me about that earlier this week, so we're trying it too. And using Hulu and a couple things that may be a little bit easier to find things at the same time. But yeah, for live TV, it's been great. But I think more to come on that as I get deeper into it. And you've obviously had over a year into it, so we'll probably be discussing it at another episode.
I'm sure we will eventually, Annie.
Who?
Well, I mean, Laurel.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's talking about it. We were at dinner earlier and about the Yanny and Laurel, and I saw a guy showing his wife at the table, and knowing we were going to record tonight and talk about it, I was wondering if 2 days or whenever it was earlier this week was enough, that by the time this comes out on Monday that it's going to be done. But seeing somebody still out there tonight showing their wife, and Melissa hadn't heard it and Ben had heard it, So he was already deciding what he had heard. But I was really curious to see what you found, and I wanted to talk about it because I think some of the, it's fascinating to me. And I never understood that dress, and then they're trying to compare it to that. Did you see that, the dress from a year or so ago, where it was blue and it was gold? And yeah, I just saw blue, so I don't know.
I saw blue every single time. And 100%, if you showed me that dress today, I'd probably still see the blue.
Yeah.
I never saw it as another color. The whole Yanny versus Laurel argument, though, that's not as clear cut for me.
No. There's some trickery in there.
And
seeing these, you know, doing this show every week and looking at the audio files and seeing where things are and knowing kind of how audio works, I figured there was something to it. So I've tried to trick myself, and I've heard the same thing every time until another thing happened and I started hearing it the other way. So I'm going to play it and then we'll see. And then you tell me what you hear, because it might be different this time.
Laurel.
Yanny.
Really?
Yep.
I heard Yanny nonstop. They kept playing it on CNN. They kept playing it on everything. And then today, well, actually, it might have been last night, right before you texted me, said you couldn't record. I was listening to it, and I hear Laurel.
Yes.
And I think, okay, well, wait a minute. But I'm listening to it on my computer, whereas the other time it was in the car. So today I'm out in the car and I'm playing it, and I still hear Laurel. And then I think, well, maybe the audio file was changed, because you know that happens with the show sometimes. There's an edit that I hear I miss something, and I'll edit, I'll throw a new one out there. So it could have changed. So I go everywhere trying to listen to the audio file to make sure it wasn't, because if it's been replaced at the main spot, chances are it hasn't been replaced somewhere else. And I'm listening to all those, and all I hear is Laurel.
Well,
and
so
now I can't hear anything else.
Well, and trying to be fair and unbiased to myself, I was using just my phone.
Yeah.
Well, somebody else showed me at work first, but I was using my phone and I was playing it from the same source every single time. And so whatever day it was Wednesday, I think, originally, that this whole stupid thing came out. I was hearing Yanny, Yanny, Yanny. Yeah.
Yeah.
For a good probably 5-6 hours, all I was hearing is Yanny, and I kept going back to it because it was when it first broke, and it was the biggest, you know, it was super big then. But so I was hearing it, not even, and I was like, as it was playing, I was like, all right, Laurel. I was trying to hear Laurel.
That's what I did. Yep.
But I just could not hear it until all of a sudden I did, using the same phone in the same room and the same settings, at the same volume, from the same website that I had always been listening to it, I started hearing Laurel. But then it switches back and forth to me. Yeah, I hear Yanny.
Yeah, and that's the same file. And I hear a bit of both.
Now I heard Laurel.
Yeah.
Laurel. Yanny. Oh.
Yeah, it's weird. It all depends on where I put it in front of the microphone, and hearing it through my computer, it was like plain as day Laurel, where I couldn't hear that before.
Yeah, but so eventually though, I'm able to play it. There's times I've been able to play it. I'll set it down. I will not move my head. I will not move my phone, because it'll keep playing it over and over again. And I swear to God, I'll hear Yanny, Laurel, Yanny, Laurel, Laurel, Yanny, Yanny, Laurel, Yanny, Laurel. Like, it'll keep alternating between the two. Like, I don't know.
It's a weird trickery. It's kind of like looking at the little hourglass. And do you see the hourglass, or do you see the old lady, or do you see the old lady or the young woman? And you depend on how you look at it. And if you really like, there's no like audio or audible way to do it, but if you like really squint, you can see it.
Yeah,
and that's kind of how this is. You really have to try hard, and you can kind of hear where the other one is, but the sounds are so similar in a way. If you, and I looked at it earlier too, is that if you look at their audio waves, they're very similar, even though they don't sound the same, and you kind of overlay them. And depending on how you hear it, and just earlier, just moving the phone in a different spot over the microphone, to both of us, it sounded different each time.
Well, I think it originally, I don't know if you read into or heard about how this originally started.
No.
So I think it was somebody, and please don't quote me, because I'm this is like 50th hand information here, but
yeah, everybody turn off your.
I think it was a college kid or somebody who went to vocabulary.com.
Yeah.
And pulled up Laurel. If you go to vocabulary.com, search for Laurel, and then hit the little speaker button next to Laurel, it's that voice. So this is where the original recording stemmed from. And I guess the kid, for whatever reason, hit the speaker because he didn't know how to pronounce Laurel, and he heard Yanny. And he goes, why the hell is it saying Yanny and not Laurel? And then I guess he was playing for other people, like, no, it's saying Laurel. And then somebody's like, no, I hear Yanny. So it just turned into this big thing. But so I guess that's kind of how it started. But of course, like anything, it gets to the internet and then people joke. And, you know, and so there's tons of memes out there. And I know we were sending some back and forth to each other. One that you had sent me, it says, one of my favorite spots to eat, Laurels. And if you look... It's like, and you'll see there's a restaurant in a strip mall and the sign says Yanny's. I sent you one, and it's a man and a woman sitting at like a desk, like having a meeting. And she says, hi, my name is Laurel. He goes, nice to meet you, Yanny. Oh, there's a lot of good ones out there. And then I sent you one. It says, and this is one that just kind of fucks your eyes a little bit. Yeah. It says, what do you see? And it's written in a way where you could see Yanny as well as Laurel in writing.
Yeah.
And that one's, my buddy at work sent that to me, and I'm like, really? My brain literally just exploded. I don't even know what to say anymore. How can it say Yanny and Laurel?
That is good. I'll probably add that to the show art this week. But no, it's been fun just to see, and I haven't been at the office very much this week to see people, but just looking online, it was everywhere. And I don't know if you saw, even the White House did a little thing about it earlier today too. I don't know if it was today but I saw the video of it, and they kind of walked around and they were doing it, and they were Yanny, Laurel, and they were back and forth. And then they got to, you know, our friend there, and at the end he goes, I hear Covfefe. So he did a little bit of Covfefe. Yeah, he did a little bit of shtick there at the end, which was kind of funny. You know, almost humanizes him a little bit. But if you see it, I think it was on their Twitter.
Their Twitter account.
Yeah.
They twatted it out.
They did. So Kelly, she a couple weeks ago, she made some brownies that we talked about on the episode.
Oh,
and
my God.
I sent you this link that we actually got from a listener that sent it over. She said, it's not quite crazy, so we didn't really put it in the crazy news. But it was pretty funny, so I figured we'd talk about it. You got the article up there?
You bet your ass I do, Robert. It's from usatoday.com. And it's about a woman in Michigan who was fired from her job for bringing laxative-laced brownies.
How do I say goodbye?
This is what I was singing before you got in here.
We have it.
The good times
that made us laugh outweighed the bad.
I wonder what Boyz II Men is up to these days.
I don't know.
Probably they're still touring. Birthday parties and bar mitzvahs. Or are they?
they toured in the last, and I think
they played at the local community college.
I want to say Holly that sent this in went and saw them, I think, or somebody did. But anyhow,
they were my jam back then, though.
Nah, they were everybody's.
Yeah, I think so. I was in the thick of it.
Well, the song is very appropriate for the article that won't load for me for some reason. So I'm trying to
understand the connection here. So,
well, you go ahead and read the story, and it'll make sense. Okay.
So the headline, I'll say it again because I started to say it and then I fucked it up and then we started singing Boyz II Men. It's a Michigan woman fired for bringing laxative-laced brownies to co-workers. God, I just can't get through that.
Cocoa workers.
A Michigan woman is fired for bringing laxative-laced brownies to co-workers. Farewell.
Yeah, it's hard to say goodbye.
Party. And this is from Saline, Michigan, which I don't make any claim to even knowing where that is. A Michigan engineering company employee has been fired after police determined she baked laxatives into brownie is intended for departing colleagues' send-offs. Police Chief Jared Hart says officers confiscated the tainted confections.
Oh, yeah. That's how you check the apple.
May 3rd, they checked the anus of the brownies and found they were that the anus was there, liquid fecal excrement.
Oh, man.
No one ate the brownies, though. So another employee tipped off management. Was like, hey, someone put laxatives in the brownies.
There's some shitty brownies over there. You better watch.
Oh, man. The Ann Arbor News reports that Hart says the 47-year-old woman initially denied putting laxatives into the brownies, but after learning investigators would test them, she admitted she had. Her name hasn't been released. Other employees told police there may have been tension between the woman and the departing employee, but specifics haven't been released. Well, that's a really shitty thing to do with somebody on their way out the door.
Well, not only that, I guess what I was trying to, but I'm still really enjoying this tiramisu stout, but you have all these other people that you're going to be working with the next week. I mean, assuming this is a Friday, so you're going to basically give them all the shits just so that you can take something out on somebody that you didn't really like that's leaving, that you're not going to have to deal with starting the next work day. And you're going to make everybody miserable just so that you can, I don't know, get one last ha-ha over this person?
I don't know. Depends on what the other person's done to me.
That's right. It might be worth it. Collateral damage.
But if you're going to do that, you don't tell somebody who's going to rat you out, though.
Now you wait till that person leaves, and then they get brownies, too.
Yeah, they're going to get something in their brownies.
Oh, she was fired. So, oh, well, I guess they won't have to worry about her. And they did release her name, so nobody will know whether to hire her or not.
Well, that's true. Why did you... Hi, Mrs. Smith. So why did you leave your last job?
I don't know. Bake some brownies with Oreos in them.
Yeah, my brownies, they were too fudgy. Oh, they weren't cakey enough. And oh boy.
Well, speaking of Michigan, before we get into crazy news, we've got this week's show promo. It actually comes from Up Your Way as well.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it's from our friends at Jake and Tom Conquer the World.
Oh. Rising from the depths of a state called Michigan.
Oh.
Two inebriated dorks prepare their plan for intergalactic domination.
Nice.
Mixing their extensive knowledge of geek culture with their insatiable thirst for alcohol, these two man-children bring you a show like you've never heard before. They will tell you tales from faraway lands and have you questioning their taste in beer. But make no mistake, friend, for the best coverage of your favorite comics, films, and TV shows, there's no better source for you to get your fix. So listen up, strap in, and prepare yourself as Jake and Tom conquer the world.
We don't have a really cool rock music like they do, but they talk about beer, so it's not that bad.
It sounds like their episode sounds like their podcast is just very intense, though. Like, does he talk like that the whole time?
Well, you have to be. That's the character there. But they're,
where in Michigan are they from?
I don't know. They're probably Saline.
They're probably from Saline.
Not saline? That's how it's spelled.
Saline. Well, it looks like saline. I think it's saline, though. I have no fucking clue.
Who gives a fuck?
I don't. I don't have any business in saline. So you can check them out at drunkendorkpodcast.libsyn.com. That's LIBSYN.com. And that's Jake and Tom Conquer the World. They're from somewhere in Michigan, some undisclosed underground bunker where they talk about beer and being dorks.
That's true. You ready for crazy news?
Doing the state of Michigan proud. No, I'm not ready.
What?
I don't know. Let's do crazy news.
Oh, okay. Good idea. Where's our first story take us?
It takes us to Texas. Wait, no,
California. California.
No, so like, well, I'm at the KXAN website, and it says Austin, 93 degrees at the top. So I figured it was in Texas. Oh, I haven't read the story yet. This is my first run. I like to, if you're listening to this podcast, how it works sometimes, most of the time, all the time, is I don't always prepare.
And I like to surprise you with stuff, and you always like, "Why did you? You didn't tell me." And you surprise me, and
so
and then you don't read it anyway.
I like it to be organic. I like to experience the things we're talking about along with our listeners, which means that sometimes, well, most of the time, I don't actually read the news stories ahead of time. So it's just as much a surprise to me as it is to you guys. So this first story apparently takes us to Fresno County, where a thief is caught dancing on security camera. Because when you break into a store or a building or someplace that you're not supposed to go, who wouldn't stop to cut a rug on the
on the rug
on the rug while they're in the middle of their B&E? This guy sure the hell wasn't going to make any sacrifices. So it says a California burglary suspect could be seen giving new meaning to pop and lock after breaking into a Fresno business. Security cameras captured the man breakdancing after successfully entering a locked office building.
Police say suspect David Seal used keys, which were copies, to enter the building, coming in and out 10 to 15 times from midnight to 10 a.m., stealing a laptop and cash. So he came in 10 to 15 times and stole two things. They say Seal returned the $2,500 computer Tuesday morning. The mystery right now is, where did he get the keys?
And so wait, he returned the I'm sorry. He's
not a very bright man.
With the computer.
He came back with the computer. Doesn't say what he did with the cash, but yeah, he gets the door open. He's got his big old duffel bag. So he's wearing his baggy pants. He opens the door, takes his duffel bag in, sets it down, and then just starts doing, I don't know, pop and lock. He's breakdancing like the old days. He's doing a little bit of wave. He's moving around. He's a little bit of robot. And then he goes back outside, gets another bag.
Why did he leave? He breakdances outside too. And why did he leave the other bag outside?
Well, he couldn't carry two bags.
Oh, my God. He's the worst criminal ever.
The same reason that he returned everything the next day, because he just felt bad. But it's funny. I've watched this video a couple times, just watching him kind of move. He's pretty good.
No, he's like very good. He could be in like a dance troupe or something. Don't they have those, right?
He probably was in Breaking Two Electric Boogaloo.
Probably. He was in that. I don't know.
What when I was a about. Kid, that was big. The movies that were out there was a lot of breakdancing movies. So
yeah, there was. Well, because, you know, usually it's troubled kids who are in bad areas of the country and urban street areas. Game.
Yeah.
And you know, they're separated from their parents and from school, and to get through life and to prove who is the boss, they get together and they have dance offs against each other until one of them I think that it's on, and then one of them serves the other person. That other person got served.
You got served a big piece of cardboard, my friend.
this guy here is going to get served with an arrest warrant for breaking in 10 times into the same business and then coming back to return the computer that he stole. I mean, that was nice of him to come back and return it, I guess.
He just wanted to look at dirty pictures. He didn't need to keep it.
Yeah, they have those on all of the computers, though. You just got to fucking pull up Google. There's a reason.
He didn't have his own computer, and the library was closed.
There's a reason that, you know, the word porn is one of the highest searched words on Google, because people know that that shit's available for free without even stealing something from somebody.
Oh, man. Too funny. I like this next one. I think the next one could be either one of us, but it comes from our friends in Indiana. I don't think we've ever been to Indiana in a crazy news story. So I'm kind of excited about this one. Well, it's close to you.
I've been to it. You've ever been physically to Indiana?
Too far.
Well, you have to go through it to get to Chicago. That's the only reason I've been to Indiana.
I don't know if I drive to Chicago, but I've flown to Chicago. Well, I probably went over Indiana then.
You don't live as close to Chicago as I do, though.
Is Indiana? Where is Indiana?
It's between here and Chicago. It's it's west of Ohio.
Okay,
it's just in between Ohio
and Illinois.
Well, yeah,
I know. Okay,
yeah.
So I've flown over it,
and then Michigan's just north of Ohio and Indiana.
Yeah, that's stupid. Well, this one comes from Franklin, Franklin, Indiana.
What do you want me to do? Move it?
That's right. Can you rearrange
it? Stick to the fucking news stories, Robert.
God damn it. Why are you distracting me? A man accused of driving a lawnmower drunk.
Whole week nonstop here.
This is what we get for having our week in between. But this one is it's a man accused of driving a lawnmower drunk, mowing someone's lawn. It's not the first time he's been accused of DUI on a lawnmower. Franklin, Indiana man was arrested and charged Saturday for operating while intoxicated. 46-year-old Barry Ridge was operating none other than a red lawnmower, so it was fast, the Indianapolis Star reports. When officers pulled him over on a County Road 100 North, Indy Star reports that the Franklin Police Department got a complaint just after 5 p.m. that Ridge had driven his lawnmower onto their yard and started mowing before heading towards Franklin.
He's trying to be a nice guy. I'd be okay if he mowed my yard for me. I'm not going to pay him for it. If you're inebriated and you want to cut my grass, go right ahead. You better not invoice me, because I'm not paying for that shit unless you're sober. But I mean, let's be honest. Anyway,
cutting the rug to cutting the grass.
Apparently. Although I feel like the robber was just a fucking idiot. I don't think he was drunk. Let's see. You can't dance like that when you're drunk. Not that well anyway. But going back to the story, the Indy Star reports officers said the man's eyes seemed glassy and that he failed a breathalyzer test where his blood alcohol level was revealed to be 0.189. Ridge was taken to Johnson County Jail on Saturday. Indy Star reports it's not the first time Ridge has been accused of drunk and lawn care. I couldn't even get through the whole word. He's still waiting for a trial and April 8th arrest, where he was also charged. Did you read this yet already?
No.
Okay. Okay. He's still waiting for a trial and an April 8th arrest, where he was also charged with operating a mower while intoxicated. So he's done this more than once.
So yeah, from April 8th, where he was charged, to May 7th, or May 6th, actually, I guess, when this was originally. So twice in less than a month, he's driven his lawnmower drunk.
See, I feel like it's probably less of he cut his neighbor's grass and more of he was cruising down County Road 100 North in a fucking red lawnmower.
Kicking up dirt.
They got him in trouble. I mean, that would be that'd be my guess.
County Road 100 North is not paved, so I'm sure there was dust and dirt flying everywhere.
I don't think they have paved roads in Indiana.
No, probably not.
No, that place is like a foreign country.
Now, is it better or worse than Ohio? Because I know you're not a fan of the Ohioans.
Oh, the FIFOs. Well, yeah. So the thing with people from Ohio is they're idiots and they're stupid. But at least they have like technology and paved roads and running water. I feel like
they drive
Indiana
fast.
Probably doesn't have. No, they drive slow.
Slower.
That's
there.
The problem. Because there's a county trooper every 10 feet on the expressways. that's why they drive so slow. And they're... Their max speed limit is, I think, it's 65, which is just asinine.
That's a school zone.
I know. Well, in Michigan, it is anyway.
Well, that's right. I think Shayna was the one that said that she driving in Michigan, it was too fast. She's in Ohio, so I think she was very concerned about driving in Michigan and how fast it was and how you should, were
especially
how-
when you get further up north, when it gets in the more like rural areas and it gets up to 75.
Yeah, that's, watch out.
You can go 90 then. It's great.
Now, do you have Tim Hortons? Huh? You have Tim Hortons up there?
Right now?
Well, not that you necessarily have it, but you have... I know that's a Canadian a food donut place, I guess, that they,
what
they
else,
have. But you've got them in, you've got them in Michigan?
Tim Hortons?
Yeah. Didn't you say that before? You had Tim Hortons there? You get the coffee and... Or is that only in Canada?
What's Tim Hortons? they have coffee.
It's a donut place. Don't you have that?
Yes, we have Tim Hortons.
You're pissing me off.
We have a shit ton of Tim Hortons. I can get to three different Tim Hortons in like 5 minutes if I get in my car. Yes,
well, that's what I thought. You're looking at me like, what's Tim?
You know, I can see a Tim Hortons from my office at work.
You're closer to Canada than I am, so you have to have a Tim Hortons.
We got a ton of Tim Hortons here, for sure.
Well, this is another listener submitted find here that I actually saw, but I didn't have it on the list. But since it was submitted, I figured maybe it is better than I thought. But this comes from a woman detained after a feces flinging incident at a Langley Tim Hortons.
Fantastic.
A woman could be facing charges after an irate confrontation at a Langley Tim Hortons Monday ended in a feces being thrown at staff. On Wednesday, surveillance videos showed Tim Hortons staff being harassed, which was posted on LiveLeak and YouTube. In the video, which has no sound, a woman can be seen screaming at staff before squatting on the floor and relieving herself. She then picks up the excrement and throws it at the staff.
It's like a monkey.
Pretty much. And how is she able to go that quickly? I don't know if you've actually seen the video, but maybe she's asking to use the bathroom. It doesn't really say. It says, our current understanding is that the team member used their discretion in this case and denied access to the guest based on past behavior. And out of concern for the immediate safety of team members, although it seems like that kind of backfired, as matters escalated, the team member contacted local authorities for assistance.
Contacted.
So contacted. I don't know that if she had to use the bathroom and they wouldn't allow her or what, but she's able to poop on command and she does it right there up against the wall.
Says the company says there. Working with the franchise, the company says they are working with the franchise owner and will be looking into this fecal matter further. Fecal is liquid fecal excrement. We are deeply concerned by this video, as the safety of our team members and guests is always a top priority for us. In limited cases across the country, restaurants have restricted access policy for restrooms to ensure the well-being of our guests, the statement said. Warning the video. Oh, so the video has graphic content, language, and the title. Great.
Have you not seen it?
No, I haven't. I'm going to watch it right now. Here we go.
All right, go ahead.
All right, let's see.
You narrate for us.
All right, so the lady, she's like shouting over the counter.
She's mad. Gesturing. She's still got her pants on, though,
too. At the person behind the register. She's clearly upset.
We'll call him John.
Like I have to, there's people that are eating,
milling around,
staring at her. Like, what is happening here? So she grabs some. She went over to the napkin dispenser and grabbed some napkins. That's not good. Oh, she took off. She had like a cardigan of sorts around her waist, and so she just pulled that off. And now she pulled her pants down. So as she's doing that, like, there's a employee who's on the phone, and she literally is pooping. Oh, no. So she's, like, propped up against the... There's, like, a barrier behind her that separates, like, the food ordering area from the area where people eat. And she leans up against it, kind of squatting, and then some poop hits the floor.
Like, and immediately.
She picks it up and throws it at him. She's like, take that. And then she grabs... Yeah, she grabs... she wipes. Then she grabs more napkins. She wipes her hands with napkins, then grabs more napkins, wipes her butt, and then throws the poop napkins at him. And then she, like, runs out of the store.
That might be poop napkins. That might be the next show title. It's either apple anus or poop napkins. Poop napkins.
Oh, all right. God. Well, this is great. And this is... This is why people should stay away from Langley.
I don't know where Langley is. That in Michigan? Or is that across?
Langley?
Yeah.
Isn't Langley in Virginia?
There is.
I feel like this is in Virginia.
Township of Langley. Township. There's no townships down here.
Sure it is. Wait, no, there's a map.
Okay. So where is it?
Let's see. Let's move. Let's zoom out.
British Columbia.
Oh, well, that makes sense. So, it's called the province.
That is Canada.
Oh, yeah. That'll do it. That's
pretty funny.
That explains everything then.
That's enough to send anybody in a rage.
So the comments are kind of funny. I lost the comment. Oh, here it is. Les R. Landry says, is that a chocolate dip? Looks like she has a good fiber diet. Wonder if she'll share it. Oh, man. See, that's why you gotta... That's shitty. See, somebody had to say that, right? Japper. Wait, no. Never mind. There's some spam. Dirtbag.
She was just returning a product she was unhappy with.
That'd be a shit fit. What a shitty situation after all. Oh, man. That's great.
Well, we've got one more crazy news story because we haven't talked to our friends at World News Daily Report lately. And it goes right with Tim Hortons.
So there's probably shitty food involved.
Close.
Actually, I like they have a their grilled bagel breakfast sandwiches are pretty good.
Yeah.
I think we've talked about this before. I get the sausage, egg, and cheese. On an Asiago bagel, that's pretty.
Oh, right, the bagel. I said, can't eat that on a bagel. You got to have it on a croissant or an English muffin. Yeah, we did talk about that.
Okay, whatever. So this last one here takes us to Illinois, Clarendon Hills in DuPage County. Lottery winner arrested for dumping $200,000 of manure on ex-boss's lawn. A man from Illinois was arrested for getting $224,000 worth of manure dumped on his former employer's property only 2 weeks after he won $125 million at the lottery and quit his job. 54-year-old Brian Morris from the small town of Clarendon Hills in DuPage County bought over 20,000 tons of manure and asked for it to be dumped on his former boss's property, pretending it was his residence. Dozens of trucks filled with manure showed up in the front of the house around 6 o'clock this morning and began dumping their smelly cargo over the property's lawn.
George Fitzgerald, Mr. Morris's former employer, was awakened by the sound of the vehicles on his property and rapidly called police. Unfortunately, it took police more than 15 minutes to arrive, and more than 10,000 tons of manure had already been dumped in the meantime. Brian Morris was standing right across the street and laughing when the police arrived, and he rapidly came over to confess his responsibility and explain his motivations. Lieutenant Frank Myers, a spokesman of the Clarendon Hills Police Department, met the press a few hours later to explain the motivations behind this strange crime. The accused told us he'd worked for the victim for 17 years and was treated like shit. Said he had to endure his mistreatment because he needed the money, but now that he won $125 million, it was time for revenge.
Brian Morris had attracted a lot of media attention 2 weeks ago after winning $125 million at Powerball multi-state lottery. When asked by organizers what he would do with the money, he had simply answered, "Just read the news, you'll see." He was freed on bail a few hours after his arrest and told reporters to stay alert, claiming he had a few other pranks to pull over the next few weeks. It just goes to show that money doesn't buy happiness, but 20,000 pounds of manure does.
Well, his mugshot looks like he's having a good
tons
time.
Tons of manure, my bad.
He's having a good time.
Yeah, I mean, he looks like he's having a good old time. He's like, yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, post my bail for whatever amount you need to.
He's still laughing.
Oh, man.
Well.
Good shit from World News Daily Report.
They never let us down.
They don't. If you're looking for any other good stories from World News Daily Report, you can read about the Zambian man who was arrested after boasting he lost 280 pounds on cannibal diet.
Doctor gets his arm stuck for 8 hours in a patient's anus during prostate exam.
Oh, that's shitty.
Just checking his apple.
FBI seizes over 3,000 penises during raid at morgue employee's home. Oh, wait, never mind. We've spoken about that one before. Oh, man, they got to come up with some new content.
Start refreshing that shit.
How about the elderly woman accused of training her 65 cats to steal from neighbors? Oh, never mind.
We did that one.
Oh, man. Hunter claims he was sexually assaulted by Sasquatch.
Members of the midget crime gang suspected of 55 break-ins. Yeah, we did all that.
Yeah.
A lot of good stuff there. Time for some fresh news in there.
Court orders Tiger Woods to take 137 paternity tests.
He's making a comeback. 17-year-old teenager sues his parents for being white.
I'm going to sue my parents for making me born white as well.
You get pop and lock.
It's tough being a straight white man in America.
Everybody's always wanting stuff.
Everybody.
Is that episode 64? Feel like we jumped right back in and got back into the swing of things after
Robert,
a week off.
We skip a week and we don't miss a beat.
No, we didn't.
I had another beer here. I had to figure it out, milk stout that I didn't get to. But I kind of feel like after the KBS and the Bavarian Cream Vanilla Java Porter, I shouldn't have any more beer tonight.
I don't remember what the alcohol by volume was of that one. So, but maybe. I mean, you've already started it. You might as well finish it.
Well, I didn't open the Griffin to figure it out. It's 6%. The Griffin Claw. Yeah, I'll put it back in there. Yeah. It's a really good beer. So I only have a couple left. I'll put it back in the fridge.
Save it for when you can enjoy it.
Yeah. So if you are so inclined, you can find out more about the Two Bobs by visiting thetwobobs.com. All the shit about our show is there and the beers and a bunch of other stuff. Robert does a real nice job with that website. And what else?
Well, also at the top of the website, we do have a little note there that's got our phone number in it, which does accept texts and voicemails. And if you listen to the last couple episodes, we have some voicemails from our friend Rambling Rob. But
I noticed that you had a phone number.
Well, elderly listener, we do. It's 530-882-BOBS, which is 530-882-2627.
Don't forget, too, you can go on our website. We have t-shirts. We have mugs.
I'm wearing mine.
Yeah, I see you're wearing your Two Bobs podcast t-shirt. You know, we don't make any profit off of it. We sell it all at cost. It's about spreading the word, and it's not about us making money. So if you go on there, please know that none of it goes toward buying us more beer. Although I feel like we should jack the prices up and people can buy us our beer, but that's all right.
And then we got to keep track of it. And this is just fun. Do it for fun. So
yeah, I'm trying not to make money with this because then I got to.
You got to report it.
I got to report it to my employer then. I don't want him knowing I have this podcast.
It almost becomes work that way. And if we can just sit down here and have a good time once a week, then hell, we've done our job.
Yeah, we've keep the overhead pretty low anyway. So
yeah, that we do.
All right.
All right. I'll see you next week.
See you next week.
Bye.
This preceding show is brought to you with joy by the two Bobs. Oh, words of their own. Not of anybody else in the world, because nobody else would fucking own up to this shit. And you can subscribe to our podcast or just go to the fucking twobobs.com. Stop being a little bitch and just own up and do it.